Aaron Judge is apparently still not sure whether he's going to come back to the Yankees. The Mets lost an ace, but gained an ace. The Phillies signed a shortstop. The Jets lost. What's going on with football, man? Something is going on with football this year. But let's get to the podcast. We'll figure it out. Let's start the show. Welcome in, everyone. It is December 5th. Welcome to the first episode of Jonesen. This episode, which I'm releasing on the 5th, you're going to get a couple episodes from me a week. Monday, Friday is right now the tentative plan for the episodes. I might have a Wednesday pod if something happens, some emergency pods here and there, have different people on, maybe try to figure out a way to have people call into the podcast. But welcome into Jonesen. Today, I'm Jonesen to talk about Aaron Judge and Major League Baseball. The winter meetings are this week in San Diego, my backyard where I live. And Aaron Judge is still not signed. There were a couple of signings today in the last couple of days. Jacob DeGrom signed with the Texas Rangers. Keep in mind, Jacob DeGrom is 34 years old and just signed a five-year deal. The man has not been able to stay healthy the last couple of years. He was barely a factor for the Mets last year, and they won 101 games without him. So Texas is looking to make a big splash. They have so many needs on their team. I'm not sure that Jacob DeGrom is going to put him over the top, but it is a nice offseason win for them, which is something that the Yankees used to routinely do and don't really do anymore. The Mets then countered today and signed Justin Verlander, who is the American League Cy Young winner, a year off of Tommy John surgery. So they basically replaced the guy who didn't pitch for them last year with a guy who won a Cy Young last year. And for me as a Yankee fan, I'm so glad to see Justin Verlander out of Houston, but something tells me that Houston will just find a way to replace him because they've already signed Jose Abreu. That's going to make their offense better. I'm sure they'll find a pitcher somewhere that'll, you know, they'll sign and it'll be like, it's nothing signing. And then all of a sudden he'll become an ace for their team. Trey Turner also signed with the Phillies today. 11 years, $300 million for Trey Turner. Good signing. The guy is a really good player. I know the Padres were dabbling a little bit in signing him. And there were a lot of Padre fans out there that were kind of confused by that. Like, there's this weird anti-Tatis thing, and I get it. I get the anti-Tatis thing because of what happened this past year. But let's remember for a second about the wrist injury. There was a baseball lockout. He got injured during that time period. He was not able to see the doctors for the team. You were not allowed to deal with any members of the front office, the team, anything like that. So there was no way for him to go check with the team doctor. Okay. So he might have known that it was broken. I don't know the logistics of all this. I don't know if he's able to go to his own doctor and have it taken care of, but it was a very irresponsible thing to do, but he's also a young guy. Look back at yourselves when you were that age and think of the irresponsible things that you've done. I know that the reaction is always, well, he makes a lot of money, he needs to be different. And making money doesn't change immaturity. It just doesn't. There's certain levels of immaturity. Now, he's not out there doing drugs. He's not out there doing, you know, these crazy things that are going to end up getting him hurt, like the pitcher for the Marlins, who Jose Fernandez, who fortunately passed away because he was doing some really crazy stuff. I did say something about Tatis a second ago. He wasn't doing drugs. He was suspended, and I get that a big part of why the Padres fans are mad at him, too. They feel like he cost them this season, and in a way, maybe he did. I don't know. I feel like the shortstop that they had in there played very well. But anyway, to get back to the Turner thing, Turner isn't necessarily just a shortstop. He could play center field. He could play left field. He could play right field. That's also a factor for Tatis. Tatis could have easily moved to center field at some point. Things could have changed drastically in that way. So this is the big signing so far. The winter meetings just started. For those not familiar, the winter meetings are basically when all of the team people get together in a hotel. Usually it's when a lot of trades get kickstarted, and they're usually, from what I've heard, are through these drunken conversations at a bar at 2 a.m, where they just kind of say, hey, you want Giancarlo Stanton? Like, we really need to get off that salary. And then 2 months later, he's on the Yankees. Those are the kind of things that happen at these winter meetings. So even if the winter meetings themselves aren't eventful this year, things that happen in months from now will be big parts and big factors in trades, free agency moves, things like that. But the big thing for me, and this is only me because I'm a Yankees fan, I'm going to put that out there for anyone who doesn't know that I'm a Yankees fan. But if you're listening to this podcast, the first episode, you probably know me. You probably know I'm a Yankees fan. Aaron Judge still is not signed. He apparently is going to be at the winter meetings tomorrow. So this is December 5th, Monday. He'll be there on Tuesday. He'll be in my neck of the woods. Maybe we'll grab a beer. Probably not. But he met with the San Francisco Giants a couple weeks ago. Yankees fans on Twitter really freaked out about that. I don't know, man. I feel like if he leaves at this point, it's going to be a really big shocker to pretty much everybody. I'm expecting him back for the most part this during the season. I always kind of assumed he would be gone, you know, kind of because the season he was having, he had 62 home runs. But then I think teams are being a little more, you know, reasonable. If a player became a free agent right now who wasn't a Yankee and he was 30 something years old and he wanted a 10-year deal, I think most teams would realistically look at that and say, no, that's not something that we want to invest our time in. Now, the Dodgers don't care, and they don't seem to be in on Judge, which is strange because he's from California. So I assumed all the California teams would be in on him. I assumed the Padres would be in. I assumed the Angels would be in. I assumed that the Giants would be in. A's obviously were never going to be in because they are perennially never spending money ever. I got the perennially right. I'm not going to say it anymore because I can't seem to say the word. So you'll never hear me say that word in this podcast again. And I'm not even going to edit it out because what's the point? It's getting to a point now where I'm a little concerned. I'm a little worried, but that's just naturally the feeling you're going to have when you're trying to figure out what your team's future is going to be. And yeah, there was a point this last offseason where I basically was done with baseball and said I wasn't going to watch baseball next year. And like always, it comes back around and you're interested again. But I think if Aaron Judge is gone from the Yankees, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch the team next year. I think it's going to be really hard for me to get behind a team because unless they go after players to replace him that are of the same, not the same, you're never going to get a player like Aaron Judge in free agency or trade. Brian Reynolds is out there from the Pirates. That's a guy I want the Yankees to target no matter what. I think he's a perfect fit in left field for the Yankees. I think he'd fit right in there with Bader and Judge. You know, every once in a while, Stanton could come off the DH spot and play left field or right field, whichever. But Stanton needs to be more of a hybrid DH outfielder at this point. He can't play the outfield every day because he just gets injured. He gets injured when he DHs too, but I think it's more risky to have him in there as the everyday, less risky to have him there as everyday DH. So we'll see where the Judge thing is going. Hopefully at some point they'll have some news. I might drop in with an emergency pod this week. Again, like I said, my goals are to do Monday, Friday pods. And then because Fridays usually have all the week notes and everything that's happened. You can talk about all that stuff. And then by Monday, you know, football will have happened. Other things will have happened. But sometimes there's a big story in the middle of the week and I'm going to come on and I'm going to talk about it in that sense too. So we'll talk about that. We'll see what happens there. So last thing I want to talk about is football. I'm a big football fan, love football. I've gambled on football. I play fantasy football. I'm very invested in the football season. It's one of the only sports where I can pretty much talk to you about every single team, most players, and go from there. I don't know what's going on this year with football, man. I have a friend, Devin, who I'm probably going to bring on here, and maybe Friday, we might talk about, you know, what's going on with football. Like, honestly, like, this season in football has been so weird. There's been a million injuries. The games, other than a couple of select games, have been not exciting, very cut and dry games, very boring. There was even a point in the season where these random teams like the Falcons and the Giants were winning games somehow, and they weren't really able to move the ball. And it was kind of one of those things where I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. But I think it has a lot to do with the training camps. Now, player safety is something that we should definitely worry about in professional sports. And football is probably the biggest one. You know, hockey aside, hockey is probably way more dangerous than football, just because you're getting hit and knocked out almost every play, every second of the game. Whereas in football, it's not every play. It happens a lot. It does happen a lot in football. I'm not going to pretend football is this not violent sport, because it is. But what they've done a couple years ago is they really wheeled back the training camps, the preseasons and whatnot. So you'd get to the season, and, you know, in the past, everyone would have played, you know, a full preseason game, maybe a half. They play in every preseason game. Now they don't play in any preseason games. These guys just don't play. And it's a great idea, because you think to yourself, cool, we'll go into the season healthy. But what you don't really look at is the factor that, and anyone who's a pro wrestler will agree to this too, the reason you see more injuries in the companies that don't have house shows or live events is because you need to build up that, the, just your, you build up your body to be able to succumb the beating. If you are a guy that is only working one day a week and you're bumping and taking all these big moves, yeah, like, your body is not accustomed to that. But when you are doing the live events and all these other things like WWE does, you see injuries in WWE. Like, there's no way to avoid injuries in wrestling. It's just something that happens. But the more you wrestle, the less chance it is actually that you're going to get hurt. And that's the weird part about it. And so in football, you look at it from this, like, when you were having these training camps where you had these guys playing and practicing for however many hours a day they'd practice, that's been reduced greatly. So right there, you're not getting the same practice time in the preseason. So you're going into the season a little more blind than you normally would. Then you're looking at not playing the preseason at all. So all you're doing is these light practices, basically, compared to what used to happen. And then you're playing your first game in the first game of the regular season when everyone is amped up. So right away, within the first couple of weeks, you're going to get torn ACLs, torn meniscuses, broken bones. Broken bones are going to happen no matter what, but it's more or less the tears and things like that, because your body is just not prepared for those types of things. And I really feel like that is affecting the NFL game this year and the last couple of years. You know, you went back to the 2020 season, the season with the COVID season. People were so excited to have football back that it didn't matter what the games were. The games were what the games were, because it was football. And we had no sports really, other than a weird baseball season. And then last year, I think people started to notice a little more, oh, this is weird. You know, fantasy football, these points are struggling. The gambling was a little weird last year. It's terrible this year. If you gambled on football, which, you know, I know people who have, if you've gambled on football this year, you've lost so much money, because there's no rhyme or reason to it. Usually in the past, when you gamble on football, you look at it and you'd be like, cool, I can gamble and I can do that. And I can, you know, this team is bad and this team is good, and I can look at the spreads and try to figure it out. This year, there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. You look at things and you it's hard to figure out. But that's kind of, you know, the grand scheme of things. I think we need to figure this out, and we need to kind of go back to the way things used to be, at least a little bit. I get why you don't want to go back to the full on, you know, heavy training camps and whatnot. But I look at this and I just see all these teams, and great. They start the year healthy, but by week four, it's like they're done because they've lost their quarterback. They've lost their best players. Like, there's just so many teams. Like, the San Francisco 49ers every year seem to suffer through these injuries. And they just, it's just one of those things, man. But I don't know. It's for me, that's the strategy that I would employ, is kind of, let's ease things back to the way they were, because I feel like even though there were injuries in that circumstance as well, and yeah, teams would have guys get hurt in the preseason that would really screw their regular season. Who's not to say that same person is going to get hurt in the regular season, because it's highly likely that they will if they don't play, especially older players. But those are just my main thoughts for today. For the first episode, I wanted to keep it, you know, as light and small as possible, just to kind of see, you know, what's going on. We will talk more about these certain things as the week goes on. But coming up next, I have my weekly spot that I'm going to have on Mondays with my cousin Ryan, where we talk about the Jets game and then kind of anything else that's going on. So I hope you enjoy that. All right. So now I'm here with Cousin Ryan. Is that what we're going to go with? Is that the name you want to go? We got to come up with a cool nickname for you. Is Cousin Ryan sufficient enough?
Or am I just like, you know, your version of Cousin Sal for, you know, Bill Simmons?
But they're not really related. In this case, we are actually blood related people. So it's a little different.
It's true. Maybe that just makes us a stronger version of it.
Maybe. Are we going to start gambling, doing betting on the lines for the next week of games and things like that eventually? Is that where this is headed?
Well, I do have 15 missed notifications from FanDuel, so
they're trying to get you.
They're trying to get me back. I lost $30 and that was enough.
On the Jets?
No, God, no.
We don't. Do we bet on the Jets? Is that something you do?
No, because that's going to sway the odds. I know if I bet in our favor, we'll lose. And if I bet against us, we'll still lose.
There was a lot of people that made money on them early in the season, because people would bet against them because they're the Jets and everyone just assumes they're the same old Jets. And then they would cover the spreads or win outright, things like that, which I don't know. But anyway, so I want to do this as a weekly segment if we can. You know, Ryan here, Cousin Ryan, is freshly minted as a married man. How's married life going for you so far?
So far, so good. I did include the Jets in my vows that I wouldn't be so cranky.
That is true. He did.
And so far, they made that easy. So
that's good. Yeah, because yesterday was a game that I'm not a person that goes with moral victories. I'm not really that guy. There's always those people in the offseason that they're like, the Yankees get eliminated, that are like, well, you know, at least we got to the ALCS or whatever. But I'm one of those people that's like, if you don't win, it's kind of a failed season and you're kind of losers. Or if you're losing, you get the first pick. That's kind of like a win. But the Jets have fumbled that over the years as well, where they could have gotten the number one pick and ended up getting the number two pick. And that ended up being a guy who wasn't even dressed to play yesterday, Ryan.
Yeah, but is he that much worse than Trevor Lawrence? I get Trevor Lawrence is solid, but what has he really shown?
He's been playing well these last couple of weeks. I mean, the team around him is not that good, but I got to think that if Trevor Lawrence was on this Jets team, that they would be a much better team, because, you know, but then again, we wouldn't have the new savior of the New York Jets, Mike White, who everyone for weeks was doing the ironic thing of, let's put Mike White in the game. Let's put Mike White in the game. And everybody, all the experts were like, Mike White's not going to be any better than Zach Wilson. It turns out they were all 100% wrong. Because Mike White, even though he threw 57 times yesterday, threw for 370 yards or something like that.
Yeah, you know, that's always been what confused me about Mike White, was the sarcasm around, let's put Mike White in. I know he was not, you know, he's been in this league a little bit longer than some and is a little older than some. But, I mean, every time the times we brought him in last year, you know, he had some stinkers, but he had some good games against some good teams.
Yeah, and I mean, I think somebody said during the game yesterday that he was cut by the Jets four times at one season. So it's one of those things where it's like the team can now say they believed in him, but did you really believe in him because you cut him four times?
Yeah, that's the journeyman story, He's been a cowboy, he's been around, I did see I saw that graphic on the other day on the Jets Reddit as well, like the signed by the Jets, cut by the Jets, signed by the Jets, cut by the Jets. And it's just gonna further add to that Disney movie that comes out in 10 years when he's the next Tom Brady.
The Mike White story. So yeah, the Jets lost the game yesterday, 27-22. They had two chances in the last 3 minutes to win the game, in the red zone. They couldn't put it through because they have this weird infatuation still with Braxton Berrios, and they have this weird infatuation to not use Elijah Moore. And I think if Elijah Moore is in that spot, I think maybe they catch one of those balls. Maybe they win the game, but it's all hearsay. It's all happenstance. None of it really matters because they didn't pull through.
Yeah, that's I do like Mike LaFleur, but I think that's one of the weaker sides of his play calling is he tries to get too cute sometimes. And that was a lot of too cute leading into that, that fourth down and then, that eventual not getting being able to punch it in the last second there too, A lot of ticky-tack nonsense. Not enough like running it down their throats.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You had this guy that they found in Zonovan. What a weird name, Zonovan.
Bam Knight,
You
baby.
just got to call him Bam Knight because I don't know if I can call another human being Zonovan for very long. But no, he's a big find for them, and it's like I don't know where this guy. I don't know why this guy waited, didn't play until these last couple of weeks. But going into next season, you're looking at him and Michael Carter and Breece Hall coming back from the ACL tear. It's gonna be something, that run game next year, whoever the quarterback might be.
Yeah, I'll put it to you this way, man. I set my fantasy lineup Sunday morning, and I really stink this year. Had a lot of injury trouble in the beginning. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go for the memes today. And my starting lineup was Mike White, Garrett Wilson, Zonovan Knight. And all three of them, Bam hit me for 15 points, Garrett Wilson, 20 points, Mike White, 20 points, And I really like what I saw from Bam against the Bears and figured I'd just ride with him, figure if it was a flash in the pan thing or the Bears just are that bad. But
Yeah.
I think Bam's it.
And you're not the only one who's going through that in fantasy this year. It seems like football as a whole this year has been less exciting and there's been way more injuries. And I don't know, I hear from people all the time how much they've disliked this season, but from the standpoint of us as Jets fans, this has been the most exciting season for me in a really long time. So I can't really relate to the people who are down on football this year.
Well, in a weird way, it's interesting too because we have had some substantial injuries and we're still beating teams that are healthy or competing with teams like the Vikings who are for the better part healthy. So I think that says a lot about us as a narrative, as a franchise narrative here.
Yeah, I remember when I was out in New York for said wedding few months ago. We went to a Jets game, and I believe we exited that game not feeling great about the team because of all the injuries and because of the play. And I don't know, man. Like, I think I look at back at that now, and I'm like, if Mike White is starting those two games against the Patriots, they're probably 9-2 right now.
I don't know. That wind was pretty tough
The
that
wind,
day
yeah.
at the lab.
And that's the worst part, I think, about Zach Wilson is I can, the bad play was like, all right, he wasn't playing great, but to not be accountable for your bad play and like just straight up be like, nah, I don't feel like I let anybody down. Like, I think he was trying to come from a good place with that, but it just came off as so arrogant. And he already is a guy that looks like a guy you wouldn't really enjoy spending time with. Doesn't look like a good hang. I don't know
No,
how you feel about that.
if you threw him in some lightly colored clothing, he'd look like every high school bully you've ever seen in an
Right.
80s movie.
And then I don't know if you remember during the draft, there was that moment where he was standing next to a bunch of other players. And, he's the white kid, the white Mormon kid or whatever. And then there's just all these other guys. And the look he's just giving them is just so funny. It's just one of those things where you're just like, I don't know if this guy has been like alerted to what life is outside of his little bubble of, wealth, but And then there was that weird thing on ESPN last week where somebody, I think it was Booger McFarland, tried to blame his failures on the fact that he came from a rich family. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I just don't think the guy, I think people got really romanticized with that 60-yard throw in his pro day. And after that, it was basically just go from there. But none of those quarterbacks in that draft have been very good. Like Fields has like that running ability, which is nice, but he still can't throw. And like you said, Lawrence, he's finally starting to come on now after a year and a half, but he was also in a nightmare scenario last year with Urban Meyer. But I don't know. You look back at that draft and it's just like everyone said it was like this rich quarterback draft, and it just doesn't seem like that right now.
No, it's, I feel like sometimes it's the drafts that are look a little lighter that you find those guys deep, with our draft when we made those picks this year, like Garrett Wilson and Sauce and all those guys who obviously wound up being great finds. Every draft pick is still a lottery ticket. Guys can look great in college, and then they're coming from small programs, or they're just flash in the pan kind of guys. But what really killed me yesterday, which, we had a great game despite that loss, but when I was trying to follow, I was at a convention yesterday, so I was kind of watching on my phone walking around a convention hall. But every Jets Twitter post in the beginning after Mike White threw that pick was, oh, same old Jets, same old Jets. Like, our fan base has no conviction.
And it's like, if you just look at the stats and the box score of Mike White, nothing looks good with the interceptions. But both of those interceptions, I don't know if you saw them, but they were both, one was a deflection off of a guy's hands into the other team. And then the other one was them trying to come back with like 20 seconds left. So neither pick was like a game changing pick or anything like that. So yeah, I get why the Jets fans have the PTSD of the last couple of years. And anytime anyone feels like bringing up the butt fumble, I just roll my eyes and I say, can we just stop? Like the butt fumble was nothing and it was like 10 years ago, but it's a funny thing because, LOL Jets. And every week I hear these experts talk about how the Jets can't win this, can't win that. And a couple weeks ago they beat Buffalo. There was no comments there. But then after last week when they beat the Bears, it was, oh, they beat another backup quarterback. Meanwhile, the Dolphins can't even beat the 49ers with their backup quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. So every week I feel like it's either LOL Jets or them making an excuse why the Jets are winning. It's like, well, the Jets are going to fall out of the playoff race. I'm like, they hit two of their last four games are against the Lions and the Jaguars, games they should win. So they're going to end up with, close 9 or 10 wins, like, and that's going to put them in the playoff hunt.
That Lions game scares me though.
They're good offensively, but they have a terrible defense. Like the Lions defense is not good, and I think the Jets will handle them. And then they play the Seahawks too, and the Seahawks are starting to fade. Like there's a lot of stuff coming up with the Jets where I'm just like, okay, if you can hang with Minnesota with that stupid horn playing all game, then I think you can play in Seattle and at least compete. But Geno might be up for that game. Geno might want to, beat the Jets, but then again, he didn't really leave the Jets in a bad way. It was a stupid situation where he got punched in the face and the franchise was just like, all right, well, we're gonna move on because we don't think that you're good. But I don't remember there being any sort of like hostility when he left, other than the guy punching him in the face.
No, and that was far from his last stop, too,
Right. He played in other New York teams. So the one other thing I wanted to talk to you about before we're done is you and I have been going back and forth over text of who is the Jets 2023 quarterback? And we bounced some names off. I bounced a name off of you yesterday you did not like at all. Former New England Patriot Tom Brady. I looked today and apparently the Jets somehow only have $18 million in cap room next year. So Mike White is the starter or Zach Wilson is the starter next year. They're not going to be able to get a quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's a free agent, he broke his foot yesterday. If he's a free agent, he's going to command way more than $18 million. So either they're going to have to do some really big cap finagling, which is possible. The cap is fake because the Rams somehow always get the good players, even when they are hilariously over the cap. But I don't know. It's like the alternative to Mike White is Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm just like, if Mike White is what he's been, I don't know why you don't just roll with that and just see what you can do with that.
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens. I don't think the story of Zach's career is over. He's got a lot of work to do, character-wise, play-wise, etc. I would love Mike White to be the guy, We've been looking for the guy for a long time, Have we ever really had the guy since the 60s?
There was that like 10-week stretch where we had Brett Favre, and Brett Favre looked like he was still Brett Favre, and it was like, oh, this is cool. And then he faded down the stretch because he got hurt. And then even when Sanchez was here, I don't think anybody ever bought Sanchez was the guy. I think everyone was like, okay, cool. Yeah, he can get us where we need to get to, but he's got very limited in what he can do. But no, we have not. I've in my lifetime, the best quarterback the Jets have had is Chad Pennington.
And that was even that was a long time ago,
Even though it was a long time ago, and
and
he was okay, he wasn't great.
no, better for us than he was for the Dolphins. But
Yeah.
no, I you know what? After that Zach Wilson Patriots game, the Wingate, I spent a lot of time watching Chris Trevler highlights on YouTube out of, I don't know, depression, coping, whatever you want to call it. And I like Trevler. If we punt on Flacco, let him walk or turn into dust or whatever he's going to do at the end of the season. Try to find some late in the draft rookie to sign to the practice squad and just let Zach develop and Mike White. Maybe he's the guy and Zach can just grow and go somewhere else if he has to. But I don't
Yeah.
think any of these free agents are coming our way.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of these things like Lamar's price has gone down recently, but Lamar's still going to get a lot of money and way more money than the Jets are going to apparently be able to have. I would love to have
And he's
Lamar
going to get
Jackson on the
tagged.
Jets. He's going to get tagged, but the Ravens have also been like really weird about this whole situation where they're kind of like, "I guess we like you." But then they're also like, "But we're not going to pay you yet." And it's smart because quarterbacks like that don't age well. And that would be my other fear with the Jets getting him is he'd come here and then all of a sudden he'd pull a Russell Wilson. He'd stop running and stop doing the things that made him great. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, so we're just attached to this guy for the next 4 years as we go 6-11 for the next 5 years. And, but it is what it is. Like quarterbacks don't sit and wait anymore. Like it would have been really good for them to just get someone last season and just have Wilson sit and then start this year. Like that would have been probably the best course of action, but nobody does that anymore. So it's like the options are he starts right away. And it's like, well, some guys, Patrick Mahomes didn't start right away. He sat on the bench for a full year. Aaron Rodgers historically sat for 5 years or whatever it was and basically had to start because of controversy. So I don't know. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, I think the real best case scenario is we drafted somebody while we still had Darnold and let them cook under Darnold. Like the draft before we took Mekhi Becton, who I have some weird soft spot for, but I really don't know if he'll ever play like 10 consecutive snaps as a Jet for as long as he lives. And there's a lot of QB talent in that draft for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the thing that was intoxicating about Becton was that he was so fast. He was like 400 pounds, but he was also incredibly fast. So you're like, oh, if this guy is like good, then that's like a franchise altering left tackle. And even going into this season, they were like, well, we don't know if he's going to play left tackle, yada, yada, yada. And it's just like, oh, great. This is going to be one of those things,
Yeah, hopefully he gets healthy next year too, and we have a healthy O-line, and that only improves our QB play as well.
Right. So this week we got the Bills again. Last time we played the Bills, we beat them. I don't think either one of us got to really watch much of that game. I was basically watching the end of the game on the airport at the airport as I was getting ready to get on a plane, and that was the day after your wedding. So I assume that you didn't have much going on to watch. You didn't have much time to watch the game that day.
I watched the second half from a hotel room
And then promptly
while
fell
my
asleep.
wife slept.
I remember seeing you that day, and you were basically a ghost. You looked like you were ready to fall asleep as you were standing there.
Yeah, a long night the night before, I think we're gonna sweep the Bills this year. That's my hot take.
It's very possible, and I hope it comes true. The Bills are not playing as great. I think Josh Allen is hurt. I think basically he would need Tommy John surgery if he were a baseball player. So he's basically playing through that, and that is doesn't seem like a great idea for a guy who has to throw the ball for a living, in my opinion. That's my hot take.
And a guy who constantly like chucks it with all of his might at all
Right.
times.
Right. But we'll see. Hopefully if you come on again next week, we will be talking about a Jets win and not another moral victory.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Well, thank you for doing this. Hopefully I'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you to Ryan. Thank you to anyone out there listening to the podcast. Go ahead and tell everyone you know, like, subscribe, listen to the podcast Mondays and Fridays. From there, we'll see what this turns into. This could be the basic format going forward, or it could turn into something much different. But we're going to see how it goes. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you didn't like. Whatever you want to do, be honest. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt, but shit, I did it. I did a podcast all by myself. So tune in on Friday. There could easily be another one comes out if something happens with Judge between now and then. But right now, tentatively, Friday is the plan for the podcast to come out. Thank you for listening. And I hope the rest of you have a great night and a great week. See ya.
I was in the pit. You were in the pit. We all were in the pit. The pit. I fell in the pit. You fell in the pit. We all were in that pit. Oh, the pit. I fell in the pit. You fell. Look around, you lay about love.